Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The human mind has an amazing capacity to deceive itself, especially when addicted to a substance or behavior. We can tell ourselves all sorts of lies to justify what we're doing. Even when it's obvious to others that we are addicted, we tell ourselves we're not. Today, overcoming addictions and facing up to our tendency to deceive ourselves. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on The Marriage Puzzle, Why Commitment Can Do What Love Can't.
What does it mean to walk in the light? First of all, light reveals to us who we are. You've had the experience, and we used to, as children, when we used to go to a town, you realize that I was born on a farm 6 miles from a town of 75 people. Going to town was great. It had a store where we could buy some candy and gum, but it also had a street light. And, as kids, you could go away from the street light and you'd have this long shadow. In fact, you couldn't even see the end of the shadow. But as you came closer, the shadow became shorter and shorter. And then when you stood right under the street lamp, basically there was no shadow. You see, light reveals who we are, because it's not who I say I am, it's who God says I am. Light comes, you see, and darkness is what I think of myself, and light is what God thinks of me. He sees me in the light. So as I come to the light with my darkness, the shadows become shorter, and suddenly I'm revealed as to who I am. But I stand there, and I finally acknowledge that God was right about me. But if I deny the shadows, if I don't admit that there are no shadows, then I can't walk in the light. You know, light is fascinating. I'm just amazed at the light of the sun. You know, I have a number of different suits, all of which are blue, and several of which have stripes. I don't know how that happened. But that's just the way it is. So sometimes I'm at home and I take the pants and I take the suit coat and I sit there and I look at it and say, yeah, it's a match. And then I go in the sunlight and I say, oi, 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 this doesn't match. It's amazing what light does. In the very same way, God's light shines upon it and suddenly we begin to see what we're doing. Suddenly we see the consequences. Suddenly we see what we're doing to other people, but mind you, we'll never see it unless we come to light. The rationalizations are too deep, too strong. So it reveals who we are. It reveals our path. It reveals the path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, you're walking along in life and you don't know where to step next when you are in darkness. By the way, I hope you learn to love the Bible. Are there any Bible lovers out there? Any of you? Yeah. I mean, you take, for example, there's a proverb and there's also a verse in Psalms. And don't ask me for the reference because I don't know it right now. But I promise you it's there and I'm paraphrasing. It says, the wicked stumble, but they don't know what they're stumbling over. Of course not, because they're walking in darkness. You know, when you stumble on something in the darkness, you don't know whether you stumbled on a stone, a piece of concrete, or a piece of gold. You don't know. And here are people who think, you know, as long as you have lots of money, lots of sex, and lots of drink, you're supposed to be happy. When they're not happy, then they say, well, I need some drugs too to cover the emptiness that my life creates. But this has to be the path. So they keep stumbling, 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 and they have no idea why they're stumbling or what they're stumbling after. Light reveals our path. Now listen, some of you say, Pastor Lutzer, if I were to take this sermon really seriously, like God wanted me to take it, I'd have to break a sinful relationship I'm involved in, because you're living in an unholy bed. And you say to yourself, it's unthinkable, like one woman said, for me to give up what I'm doing. Ask me to pick up a building and move it to the other side of the street. Listen, when you come to the light, God begins to show you the path. And it is a path. And the light will help you. And the light also, it not only ends up revealing our path, but it ends up also showing our destination. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that someday when we are with God, we're going to dwell with him in light. It says regarding the New Jerusalem, there is no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine upon it, for the Lord God Almighty is the temple of it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And it says that those who believe in Christ will walk with him in light. Live in darkness? Oh, don't receive Jesus Christ as Savior, eternal darkness. Receive Jesus as Savior, eternal light. Could the contrast be any greater? So, now, how do we make the transition? If we walk in the light, it reveals who we are, it reveals our path, it reveals our destination. How do we make the transition? Some practical pastoral help here. Number one, we must come to the light when we feel the heat, when we feel the heat. You see, there are some of you here who today are going to continue to hide. And the reason that you're going to continue to hide is because you still think that your secret, well guarded that it is yours to manage. And as a result of that, that secret is going to hurt you. And unfortunately, human beings, what they are. Saturday morning, listening to a program on WMBI, they had a man who has helped more than 3,000 couples overcome adultery and pornography. And one of the things he said that I often suspected, but I never heard anyone say it, is this, that most people who are delivered are those who were caught. We usually don't come on our own. I remember a friend of mine involved in an adulterous relationship, and he told me later, very close friend, among my top 5 or 6 friends in the world. He said, a year or two ago, I wanted to come to you, but I couldn't. Oh, he would have spared himself so much grief. Of course he was involved in this and there were consequences, but what happened after was far worse. Don't wait until you're caught. Come to the light. It's better to do it that way because it's only going to get worse. This past week I received a letter from a woman who said that her brother almost died of a drug overdose 7 years ago. But that so woke him up that today not only is he sober for 7 years, but he's leading people to faith in Jesus Christ. But why does it take almost death before you come to the light? I hope that this message enables you to feel the heat so that you don't have to end up splattered against the pavement before you wake up. So first of all, what we do is we must come when we feel the heat. Parenthetically, I should have mentioned it earlier, if you're living with an addict, you ought to really go to various groups that are helpful for you. I received a letter from someone who said that Al-Anon, for example, saved her life. There are groups that help you to understand the chaos that you are dealing with. So anyway, number one, we must come when we feel the heat. Secondly, we must come and agree with God. You say, oh, Pastor Lutzer, get specific. Well, I think I was pretty specific, but now I'm even going to get more specific. Verse 9. I can't help but read verse 8 first. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You see, what John is saying is there are those who walk in the light. They are up to date with God, and they believe that they are in fellowship with God. God has fellowship with them, and they begin to think, you know, I'm perfect. In fact, there are whole denominations that teach that you can be perfect. Could you imagine, ladies, living with a man who believed he was perfect? Not a pretty picture. I remember meeting a man like that. His wife wasn't at all convinced of his perfection. It says, if we say that we have no sin, oh, I'm so holy because I walk in the light, I have no sin now. Hey, we deceive ourselves because even those who walk in the light, even when we're walking in the light, we still have some darkness that's still there too. We are very interesting human beings. But now notice, it says, in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from each individual unrighteousness. Now, this was written to Christians, but it's going to apply to those of you who are investigating Christianity, to those of you who are on the fringes. I'm going to apply it in just a moment. But first of all, to those of you who are Christians, this is what it means to confess. It means that you agree with God. You agree with God and you say that what I'm doing is sin. It's displeasing to you, Lord. It is creating darkness between you and me. And this darkness causes me to run. You know, there are people who don't want to come to church. And the reason they don't is because this light begins to shine on them. And they don't want to come to the light. And it's very, very uncomfortable. When you confess your sins, you agree that this is sin. You agree that God has a right to take it from your life forever. You agree totally and say, whatever, Lord, you ask me to do, I'm going to do because I am going to fully and totally agree with you on everything. That's the way you walk in the light. And those of you who are believers, you will know, and it's true of my experience also, that every day we have to come and we have to say, Lord, today I want to walk in the light. And when we walk in darkness, as we sometimes do, we have to bring that darkness to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, and I'm going to claim this verse that you're going to forgive me and cleanse me. Don't just stop at forgiveness. You ladies who've had an abortion, if you stop at forgiveness, you're going to be haunted, even though you are forgiven, because the text says he is faithful and just to forgive. You need to also accept the cleansing. The cleansing means that our consciences become clear in God's presence. And so we not only are forgiven, but we sense that we are forgiven, and we stand in that forgiveness, because the text says that if we agree with God, this is known as repentance. And all of us need to deeply repent, and we need to repent every day. We have to confess that we agree with God if we're going to walk in the light. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. You know, the Bible says that two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. And to confess means that we agree with God. We agree regarding ourselves that we are sinners. We agree that we are deceptive. But we also agree that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If you've been listening to Running to Win for any period of time, you know that we are, above all, presenting the gospel and a message of hope to a broken world and to a world that is self-deceived. We're doing all we can to get this message out, and I just want to thank those of you who pray for us. And for those of you who are able to contribute and do contribute, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. When you think of Running to Win, think of a family. Think of us bonding together because we have a common mission in a world that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Erwin Lutzer with more on The Puzzle of Addictions, part of our series on the marriage puzzle. The one thing every addict must do is come clean. Come into the light and out of the darkness. Next time, more on making the move away from sin. The Marriage Puzzle Series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.